For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Well, let's open in prayer. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together tonight in your presence, Lord. We come to you. We thank you for the presence of the Lord here with us tonight, for the help of the Holy Ghost, helping us to understand the scriptures and enlightening them to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the power of God at work in our lives. We thank you that we have the truth being the Word of God, Lord, and we thank you that you guide us, you lead us. We thank you that your mercy is shown in our lives.
Right.
We come together tonight to study and learn and be encouraged in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we're looking at why covetousness is idolatry. Before we start, let's look at some concepts. So we're talking about covetous. We're talking about sinful covetousness of worldly things. So the word covetous means to strongly desire something. So sinful covetousness is inordinately or wrongly desirous of wealth, possessions, and even people. So it's being greedy. It's important that we understand that, because the word covet itself means to strongly desire something. And we know in the scriptures, the Bible tells us, covet earnestly the best gifts. That's a good thing to covet, to strongly desire. But when we talk about covetousness tonight, why covetousness is idolatry, we're talking about a sinful covetousness of worldly things. So, idolatry. Idolatry is the worship of idols. So that brings us to a point, idols. Now they can be idols of the heart as well, not just a statue type of idol. Because when something is in the heart and it takes the place of God, it's an idol of the heart. So sinful covetousness is of the flesh. It's a desire that comes out of a lust for something or someone. Now, lust is the overmastering desire or craving as well. So why covetousness is idolatry. So covetousness, it's that inordinate or wrongly desirous of wealth, possessions, people, and it sets itself up as an idol of the heart. Worship of idols. It can be a stone type idol, but it's more looking at the idols of the heart, things that people put in their heart above God. And that is a sinful thing. When we are to desire and love God and His ways first and above all else. So let's have a look at this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Colossians 3 verse 5, and the scripture says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So we can see here that sinful covetousness, which is idolatry, is to have no part in the believer's life. No, it is to have no part in our life. So the Bible tells us, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. We have to die to the wrong desires for things. And believe me, the devil is ready to feed wrongful desires in people. And when a person lets their focus go away from God and onto something else, The devil is waiting and ready to feed a wrong desire for something else. So the sinful covetousness, which is idolatry, is to have no part in the life of a believer. We can see that clearly. And we have to mortify our members which are upon the earth. So it's talking about the flesh. You know, the flesh can have cravings and the flesh can have desires, but we are not to be flesh-led people as believers, as children of God. We are to be spirit-led people. Spirit-led people. Not flesh-led people. And that's why the spirit is to lead over the flesh. The flesh is to be mortified. So let's understand that sinful covetousness, that wrong, inordinate desire for something that will take the place of God, is to have no part in a believer's life. No part in a believer's life. We are to follow the Lord and love Him. He is to have the preeminence. He is our life. Praise God. So it's to have no part in a believer's life. Let's go to the book of Exodus and look at chapter 20 and verse 17. Exodus 20, verse 17. The scripture says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbour's." See how it's talking about coveting things and people, possessions, other people's possessions that they have. So God is against that type of covetousness where a person, it's out of that wrong desire, that the greediness, the wrong desire that desires things above God. And also says, really, that the Lord will not provide for you. You have to have that. God would not provide that those good things for you. See how that's a sinful thing. And the devil is ready to feed that. It comes out of that fleshly desire for things. So we are to mortify our members and we are not to covet other people's possessions. And we are to examine ourselves. The Bible says examine ourselves. So if we find ourselves, you know, being preoccupied with that type of thing, we have to get that right. We have to get that right in ourselves before the Lord. And He is ready to help, praise God. He is ready to help. So covetousness like that, sinful covetousness, is to have no part in the believer's life. We are not to covet other people's possessions, not their belongings, and even people. Let's go back to the same chapter, chapter 20, and look at verse 3. The Lord has said here, in verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He is God. He is the Lord. He is the provider. Let's understand that. Let's thank Him for that. That He does provide for us. And you know what the Bible says? No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. So think on that, and also to be thankful for what we do have as well. That's the attitude, that's the heart attitude God wants from us, is one of gratitude and thankfulness. And you see, sinful covetousness is in opposition to that. He wants us to remember His blessings. Think on the blessings that He has given us. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 103, forget not all His benefits. So think about that. And remember that he is a God that does delight. He does delight to bring prosperity to his servants as well. So you can see there that it really, it's tied in with that ungratefulness and that unthankfulness. You know, that attitude of what God has given us, you know, that's not enough. I have to have more and more and more type thing. Or what God has given me is not good enough. It's tied in with that. So we are to be people who are thankful, who are grateful, who acknowledge and remember the blessings of God. The blessings of God. Remember that God is not trying to keep good things for his people. He's not trying to do that. But he is against covetousness of things. Remember also that he is against covetousness. He's not against his people having good things or having money, but he's against covetousness. Because we are to love him and serve him first and foremost, and he is to have the preeminence in our lives, the one we seek after above all things. Remember, let's remember what the scripture tells us about these things. So he's against covetousness. We are to have no other gods before the Lord God. He is the Lord God. He is the Lord God, and he reigns in our life. Remember that. He reigns in our life. He reigns in our hearts. Praise God. Let's go to a book in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel. Chapter 33. And we'll read verses 30 to 32. Ezekiel 33, verses 30 to 32. The scripture says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they cometh unto thee as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not." So let's think about this, and this still goes on today, this type of thing. Still goes on today, where people come and, you know, it's about appearances, and yet in their heart something different is happening. In their heart, the Bible says, their heart goeth after their covetousness, and they can hear the words of the preacher, but they do them not. So it's really, it's not making an impact upon them. And God, this is a warning to us, because this is not God's will. This is not God's will. Firstly, he doesn't want his people to be people whose hearts goeth after their covetousness. When we come to God, we are to hear what he is saying and then do. Be ye hearers of the word, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. So we are to hear and do. Praise God. Where we hear the word of God and then we put it into practice. We take it into our hearts and put it into practice. So when you fill your heart with the word of God, it's going to drive out anything that's against God's word. any wrong fleshly type thing. You fill your heart with the Word of God. Remember that you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. And your mind is renewed by God's Word and hearing it taught to you in a godly way. So be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, praise the Lord. So God, this is not God's will, where people sit in, they listen and they go out and their hearts are going after their own covetousness. So that's a warning. It's a warning. God's will for his people is for the temple to be cleansed and holy and righteous without spot or wrinkle, and he will have it, praise God. He will have it. So he does not want any covetousness to have any part in the lives of his people. Let's go to Luke 12, 15 to 21. Luke 12, verses 15 and to 21. And this is what the scripture says. And the Lord Jesus said this. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, now Jesus Christ said that, and he said, beware of covetousness. So it is obviously a real thing for people to be aware of and beware of. Covetousness. It's where people start to trust in themselves and wrongly desire those things. And this man, this fellow is a lesson to be aware of. See? That he was thinking he could do it himself and it was all about him. He could live without God. It was all about him, you know. And what a mistake he made, saying, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. No. God called that person a fool. God called that person a fool. And the way God wants us to go is to be rich toward God. Be rich toward God. See, we are to rely on God. We are to rely on him. And to be sowers and to be reapers, do it in accordance with God's will and be rich toward God. So don't be covetous, even of the fruits and the harvest, as the Bible demonstrates here. So be rich toward God and think rightly about things. Think rightly about things. That we don't need to covet material things because God provides for us. God provides. And let's be thankful about what God has given us. And remember that he's not against us having nice things and good things or money. What he is against is his people being covetous of these things. So be thankful and let's be givers as well. Remember, God is a giver. And we are called to be givers also, rich toward God, the scripture says. So covetousness is something that God warns himself to be beware of. Beware of covetousness. Remember, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Remember that we can't take any of this stuff with us to heaven. And there's way, way better things in heaven anyway. Remember that too. So let's think of it the way God thinks of it. The way God thinks of it. God gives us, remember that God gives us things that gives him pleasure, but also we are to be rich toward God. And what God has given us belongs to God anyway. It all belongs to the Lord. We are his stewards. Let's remember that. We are his stewards of what he has given, put into our hand. We are the stewards of what God has put into our hands. It helps it put things in perspective for us. Let's look at 1 John 5:21. And here the scripture says in 1 John 5:21, he says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. Keep yourselves from idols. It's something to be that we have to be aware of in this world we're living in now, and that includes the idols of the heart. So when something takes the place of the Lord God, it is an idol of the heart. So we're not just talking about the man-made idols. It can be an idol of the heart as well. And it's something God tells us to keep ourselves from. Keep ourselves from idols. Keep ourselves from idols. And the Bible tells us plainly, covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. And it's to have no part in our lives. Let's have a look at Proverbs 21, verses 25 and 26. Proverbs 21, verses 25 and 26. The scripture says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labour. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not." So you see here? The slothful person is a person who's, well, the Bible tells us, where his hands refuse to labour. Notice how he's coveting greedily all the day long. Greedily, greedily. Won't do anything. Coveteth greedily all the day long. But that's contrasted with the righteous person. But the righteous giveth and spareth not. You know, it's the righteous is not to be the person who hoards things to himself in a fearful manner. Fear of lack and fear of loss. The righteous giveth and spareth not, because you know the Bible tells us that God gives back to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. So the righteous giveth and spareth not. You reap what you sow. So the righteous giveth and spareth not. So God is a giver and we are to be givers, just as he is. The righteous giveth and spareth not. Praise God. Spareth not. Let's go to, in the book of 1 Timothy, let's look at chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 in the New Testament. Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 and verse 9. The scripture says, "Like likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. So see, God's got standards for his servants. And here it's talking about deacons. It shows that God has standards for his people and for his servants, you see, not greedy of filthy lucre. So he doesn't want his servants to be people who are greedy. That's one of the things God hates, is covetousness and greediness. Greedy of filthy lucre, no? God is not to have his people being greedy of things. So that's a standard there we can see in God's word. Praise the Lord. Have a look at Luke 16, verses 10 to 15. Luke 16, verses 10 to 15. The scripture says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" See, that's a test there. That's a test. We are called to be faithful even in the least. And if we are, God can trust us with the much. See? It's a test. It is a test there. Do you know the person who is faithful in the least, they're not of that covetous way. And God knows he can trust that person. So it's a test, and God wants us, each one of us, to pass that test. Praise God. And it helps for us to look at the scriptures and understand that everything we have comes from God. Everything we have belongs to God. We are his stewards. Praise God. And he wants us to be faithful in the least, you see. Whatever he's put in our hands, let's be faithful with it. And when we do that, he can trust us with more. Praise God. So that's a test. And verse 12 goes on, "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" So you see, the call is to faithfulness. Faithfulness in what has been put into our hands. "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Now, mammon is materialism. And the Lord tells us that we can't serve God and materialism at the same time. He tells us there, one will be loved, one will be hated. One will be held to and one will be despised. We are to love God. Love God. We are to not to be lovers of the mammon. Not to be lovers of the mammon. We are not to covet the mammon. And verse 14 says, "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." So the person who is covetous will... it will not sit well with them, this teaching, But God wants our hearts to be pure and clean before Him. So He wants us to be aware of covetousness. Be aware of covetousness. Remember, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So the more we give our attention to God's word, the more our minds are renewed. Praise the Lord. So it is a snare, it is a trap, covetousness, and it is idolatry. So He wants us to be aware of that. To be aware of it, it's to have no part in our lives. And remember, if you think about the fact that you are a steward, we are stewards, and everything we put into our hand is from the Lord, let's be thankful, let's be grateful, then that's the right attitude. Praise the Lord, that's the right attitude. Let's be thankful, let's remember the blessings that God has put into our life. And also remember that He is the provider. He's the provider. He is the provider. Praise God. So let's go to Matthew 22 and read verses 35 to 38. And here the Lord tells us that He is to have first, and He is our life. So He is to be loved and worshipped, and He is to have the preeminence. So Matthew 22, 35 to 38. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." This is the first and great commandment, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. So you see, that takes giving our attention to God and His word and inclining our ear unto His word and then doing it. And then doing it. So spending time with the Lord and letting our mind, our souls be renewed, praise God. And our souls prospering, praise God. So we are to love Him, to give our attention, to express our love for Him as well. Tell Him that you love Him. And you can show that you love Him by spending time with Him, spending time with in His word, in His presence, praise God. And putting it into practice, which demonstrates our faith, praise the Lord. So nothing is to take God's place. And we'll finish with Matthew 6. Verses 31 to 33. Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us. "Therefore take no thought, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?' For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So there you are, the commandment, the teaching of the Lord is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So the things that matter to God matter to us. That's how it should be. The things that matter to God matter to us. And the hearing and the doing of His word is what is what God wants in the life of a believer. The hearing and the doing. Not the coveting after the external things. But we are to seek God and his ways. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Praise the Lord. And we can do that. And we can follow after God and remember that we are led by the Spirit of God. So he leads us into all truth, praise God. He leads us into all truth. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and remember God knows we need these material things. And all these things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. So let's think on these things and let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and thank you, Lord, for giving us wonderful truth, wonderful commandments, wonderful teaching. We thank you, Lord, that your word is life. We thank you, Lord, that thy word is truth. We thank you, Lord, we are to love you first. The first and great commandment is to love you with all our heart and soul and mind. We thank you also for everything you have given to us, and we remember that we are stewards of what you have put into our hands. Thank you, Lord, for meeting our every need. Thank you, Lord, because your word says that you supply all our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for that. And we exalt you and honour you, Lord, above all else. In Jesus' name, amen.